We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Try it like it's a really simple game. What we do is we get something that's unique that you may not have tasted before, and we offer you the chance to. And we bet that if you try it, you might just... Now, you're in an interesting position today, let me tell you, because last week we had the first time that somebody tried it, and they... That's correct. Sean was about to throw up, and it was very frightening. So, we have upped the ante a little bit today. We have the most expensive thing. The most expensive thing that we've tried it and liked it today. It is unique, to say the least. And so... I need a volunteer to try it. That, thank you, Natasha, come on up. Stage right's good. All right, Natasha, I have to make sure you're not allergic to some things real quick. Do you have many food allergies?
Yeah.
Good, I love it. How about dates?
I like dates.
Oh, good, okay. She might try it and like it. How about figs?
I like figs.
And almonds?
Uh-oh,
this is fig, almond, liver, anchovy paste. No, incorrect. This is chocolate salami.
Oh, wow. Chocolate salami.
No, I don't think so. Let me look. It does not. If you try this, then you get a fabulous prize. We forgot to talk about that. The fabulous prize is one cookie, one shake, and a soup or chili from the fabulous folks at Potbelly Sandwiches, who sponsor the Try It, You'll Like It game. So all you have to do is take a bite.
Okay.
So here, 3, 2, 1. Just take a bite. It's going to be weird to try to pull apart.
Oh, that's not a wrapper.
No, it's not a wrapper. 3, 2, 1. She's tried it, and?
It's good.
There you go. She likes it. Thank you, Natasha.
What's this stuff?
It's Jesus. He's supposed to be good for you.
Did you try it?
I'm not gonna try it. You try it.
I'm not gonna try it.
Let's get Mikey.
Yeah. He won't eat it. He hates everything.
He likes it. Hey, Mikey.
Jesus Christ is living and active at Redemption Church. We encourage you to try new things in Jesus at all times. Things like worship, things like Bible study, things like gifts of the Spirit. We believe that these things can be beneficial to your life. So try it. You'll like it.
Try it. You'll like it.
Amen.
Chocolate salami? Wow. I can't wait for the home version of Try It, You'll Like It game. Come to you soon, all right? You can't say you like it until you've tried it. That's been like the point of this entire sermon series. I hope you understand that. You really can't say you like something or you dislike something until you've tried it. Welcome to Redemption Church. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm really excited to be here today. I am excited that you're here today because I believe God has something for every one of us today. I believe that with all my heart. Are you afraid of trying new things? Be honest. Are you kind of afraid? It maybe depends what it is. Don't feel bad because many people are incredibly afraid of trying new things. But trying new things is life recommended. If you are lacking creativity, they tell you to try something new. If you have a writer's block or you're trying to do something, maybe do a painting or something creative, they tell you to try something new. Maybe go for a walk in a new location. And that new location, that new surrounding will kind of stir up your mind and you'll suddenly start, the creative juices will get flowing, right?
Yeah.
If your health workouts and the results of your health workouts are becoming stagnant, what do they tell you to do? Try something new. Change up your workout. It'll confuse your body, and then your body will start upping the metabolism, burning more fat, and building more muscle. They tell you to do this. If your finances are suffering, try something new. It's time to change your financial focus and your habits of spending. If your relationship is on its way to an early grave, what should you do? Try something new. What you've been doing isn't working. We need to do something new. Does this make sense, everyone? This is this profound revelation. You're welcome. If you don't like your life or anything in your life right now, you should try something new. You've probably heard this Albert Einstein quote on insanity. He defines insanity. He says, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. That's what Albert says. There is a place where doing the same thing becomes insane. There are some habits, you shouldn't go back on those habits. There are some things in your life you shouldn't go back to. It's time to try something new. It would be insane to go back to those things and expect things to be different. It would be insane to say, I want a better life, but I'm going to go back to that unhealthy relationship. That's insane. It's insane to say, I want to do better in school, but I will go back to my same bad habits of not studying. I want to grow close to God, but I will resist the new ideas pastor is preaching from the Word of God. I don't want any of that new stuff. That's insane. That's insane. Can you agree with me? Yeah. We need to make up our minds today to try something new. We need to try something new. Redemption Church, let's not be the same old church. Let's be a new church. Vibrant and ready for everything new God has for us. Can we do that? What do you say? Let's be that kind of church. You see, we have an old God, right? He's ancient. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the beginning and the end. He goes before time, but he does new things. He says, behold, I set before you a new thing. He tells you to sing unto the Lord a new song. You see, God is into new things. So his church ought to be into the old things of God, but be willing to do new things. We should have a new, fresh worship. We should have a new, fresh heart for him every day.
Yeah, that's good.
Over the last few weeks, we challenge you to try faith, try prayer, and to try worship. Today, we want you to try baptism. Try baptism. You'll like it. Baptism is a touchy subject in Christianity. If you don't know that, just please take my word for me. Believe me, it's a touchy subject in Christianity. There is a large divide over baptism amongst Christian churches. Is baptism necessary? Is it important? How should baptism be done? Who can be baptized? Baptism is a major player in the denominational divide. All those denominations out there, a major part of that divide is over the subject of
baptism.
Very good. And that is really silly. That is really silly because baptism ought to unify us. It ought to be something that brings us all together. We can all rejoice when somebody is baptized. It should unify us, not divide us. Paul writes about it in Ephesians 4. He writes about the unity of one. Let's read it together. Ephesians 4 and 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now watch all these ones come by. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. All right. A lot of ones right there. What's one of the ones in the middle of that? Baptism. There is one baptism. Ephesians 4 and 5. Baptism should unify us. Just like believing and receiving the one Lord unifies us. Just like believing and receiving the one faith should unify us. Just as believing and receiving the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, should unify us. Yeah. Baptism should also unify us because it's also one.
Right. Yeah.
Christianity, get your act together. Stop all this arguing. It's time to get unified over baptism. I really want you to believe this, what I say. This sermon isn't meant to further divide or bash other denominations or church bodies. It's not meant to just like say, those people over there, they're doing it wrong, but we're doing it right because we are so much smarter than them and God loves us so much more than them. No, no, no. That's not the point of this. At Redemption Church, we don't get our doctrine from a denomination. That's why we choose to be non-denominational. We don't get our doctrine from a church tradition. In fact, a lot of us, as we're coming into the church, we kind of had to let go of our church tradition. Sometimes all the pastoral staff, we're all sitting around the table, and we're all from different church backgrounds, and we all have to let go of that. Let's not bring this to this table. Let's look at the Word of God. That's how we're choosing to be at Redemption Church. We do our best to get our doctrine from the Word of God. What a thought that is. Not from some theologian that lived 300 years ago, but from the Word of God. Because the Word of God is eternal, and it never passes away, and it never lies. It's never wrong. It's the Word of God. That being said, we believe, according to the Word of God, that baptism should be by immersion in the water, in the name of Jesus, and for the remission of sins. I'm going to say that again. We believe, according to the Word of God, when we open it up, that baptism should be by immersion in the name of Jesus and for the remission of sins. Now, again, baptism's a touchy subject. I'm going into that just totally open and honest. We have a text line right here. And so if this is touching some wrong things in you and you're getting ired up about it or antsy about it, or maybe you have questions about it, maybe you feel like we're in error with this statement, that's what this text line is for. This text line is totally anonymous. Nobody's going to know who it is. 214-856-0550. You talk to us. We want to talk to you about baptism. I promise you, none of the pastors of this church are going to be like, oh, someone else texted us. They're asking about baptism. No, we're like, wow, someone's texting us to talk about baptism. We love it. So feel free to text us, all right? 214-856-0550. If you have any other questions, by the way, hit them up on that line right there. There is a phrase, we're going to get down in the middle of it for a second, okay? There is a phrase often used to describe baptism in Christianity. Here is the phrase. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward work. Real quick, show of hands, how many have heard that phrase before? Just around there. It's really heavy in a few denominations, and it's not that unusual to hear it said on a Sunday service or when someone's describing baptism. Sometimes things are like handed down generationally. I heard my pastor say this, so I'm going to say this, and the next people are going to say that. And this is one of those phrases. Baptism, an outward sign of an inward work. I want to talk about this because I have some issues with this statement. Baptism is an outward sign. I think we can all see that, right? Yeah. Right? Everyone, look down here. Y'all see a baptistry right here? I don't know if the camera, can you see that? There's a baptistry. That is a physical baptistry. It's an outward sign of a baptistry. Okay. Everyone gets how it could be an outward sign. That's not where the difference of opinion might be. There is no reason to get baptized, except an inward faith has taken hold of your life. We all understand that, right? So we understand the inward work is definitely happening. There is absolutely no reason to get baptized unless something is happening on the inside of your heart. I think we can all agree with that. So far, so good, right? However, this phrase, baptism is an outward sign of an inward work, suggests that baptism is only an outward sign. Think about it. You agree, right? It's saying it's an outward sign of an inward work, and that's all it is. That baptism is only ceremonial. That it's only a sacrament to be done. That it's only symbolic. It's only an outward sign. Let's talk about it. We do believe baptism is symbolic. Yes. Romans chapter 6, verse 2. Romans 6:4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Verse 5. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Baptism is symbolic of the burial of a crucified Christ. In baptism, we are buried into his death, but we don't physically die. You should say amen on that. You don't physically die. If you physically die during baptism, I'm doing it wrong. I'm holding you down way too long. Bring him back up, Pastor. Right? Aren't you thankful we don't physically die in baptism? That is symbolic. You see, Jesus tastes of death, so you don't have to taste death. In this sense, baptism is absolutely symbolic of the burial of Christ. In fact, the Greek word for baptism is baptizo. Baptizo. We're going to learn some Greek here. It means to immerse, to cover, to overwhelm. I find that interesting. And to bury. To bury. See, it's symbolic of the burial of Jesus Christ. But is baptism symbolic only? Is it only symbolic? Romans 6:5. Again, look at it. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his, what's that word?
Resurrection.
Although being planted into the likeness of his death, burial is physically symbolic. Don't think for a moment that the likeness of his resurrection is physically symbolic only. We're talking about a literal resurrection. You really walk into a new life in baptism. That's not symbolic. That's not just pretty language. No, you really start to walk into a new life in a resurrected Christ. In Christ, you really do become a new creature. That's just not florid language. You really do that. That's not symbolic. That's literal. You literally become a new spiritual creature in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, the hope of this resurrection we're talking about, that hope is not symbolic only. That's not like just a pretty picture we hold up that just makes us feel good. No, Jesus Christ is going to return, and the dead in Christ are going to rise. There's going to be a resurrection. It's literal, baby. Baptism is the promise of a literal resurrection. So are we talking symbolic only?
No.
You are buried with Jesus. I want to talk to you about that for one second. You get the purpose of being buried with Jesus? You want to know why you need to be buried with Jesus? You want to know why you want to be buried with Jesus? Because he's the only one we know of who was buried, who doesn't stay buried. He's the only one we know of that he was buried, but he raised himself up out of that burial. If you are raised, if you are buried with Jesus, that same Jesus is going to raise you up. You want to be buried with Jesus in baptism. And I want to tell you, that hope isn't symbolic only. You have loved ones that have been buried with Jesus. And we're not talking about a symbolic hope. They have a literal hope. They have a literal trumpet will sound one day. The dead in Christ literally will get up from their graves. They will meet him in the sky. That's literal. It's real. Don't think for a moment it's symbolic only. Let me talk a little bit more about Greek words. I could tell y'all are really excited about Greek words. Y'all love the Greek words back there. See it. All right. Baptizo. Look at somebody say baptizo. Hey, baptizo, Pepsi, Coca-Cola. All right. I don't know what I'm doing. And can I talk to you about a pickle recipe while I'm at it? Sure, why not, right? Nothing goes better than some Greek translation than a pickle recipe, right? Anyone confused yet?
Yeah.
All right, good. All right. There are two very similar words in the Greek. One of them is bapto, and the other one is baptizo. All right? And you would look, and from our English perspective, we'd look at that and say, oh, those words are probably just really similar. They're probably just like a difference in tense or past perfect or verb or something-ing, conjunctioning thing, right? That's what I would think. Of course, I was terrible at English. Well, these two very similar words, translators have looked to get these words right. And out of all the crazy places, they found both of these words used in a pickle recipe. All right? And so it's hard to just find these words. So it's actually taken from outside of the Bible, but it's by a smart person and very literally honest. So they've gone outside the Bible and they said, they use these words in this way, in these contexts, right beside each other. So let's see if that adds up to the word of God. And sure enough, it does. The clearest example that shows the meaning of bapto and baptizo is a text from the Greek poet and physician Nicander, who lived about 200 BC. It is a recipe for making pickles. Praise God. And it is helpful because it uses both words, bapto and baptizo. Nicander says, stick with me, you're going to get something out of this, says that in order to make a pickle, the vegetable, the cucumber, should first be dipped, bapto. It should be dipped, bapto, into boiling water. And then it should be baptized, baptizo, in the vinegar solution, right? Yeah. So on the cover, you're like, big deal, because both verbs concern immersing of a vegetable in a solution, right? Yeah. Big deal. But the first is temporary. Bapto is temporary. We got hot boiling water, we're just going to dip that in there to clean it. That one is temporary. And then the second one, baptizo, that's the act of baptizing the vegetable. It produces a permanent change because you take it from the hot boiling water and then you submerge it in the vinegar and you keep it there. And that vinegar, that pickle, doesn't leave that jar until it's ready to be served. When you go to the store, you find a pickle jar, and that pickle is baptizo. It is inside that pickle jar, and it is there to stay until you take that sweet gherkin out and you eat it. Bapto is temporary. Baptizo is permanent. In fact, you don't just pull the pickle out of the pickle juice. It stays right there. I want you to get this. This is really important. Baptism, in the church world today, we are thinking of it like bapto. We are thinking of it, okay, we're going to just take a dip and then we'll hop out. It's just a temporary wetness. It's just a temporary thing. All right, we're clean. All right, we have that nice ceremony. Now let's move on to the other thing. It's not bapto. In fact, bapto is never used in conjunction with baptism. Bapto is used in a few places. Here's one place. Jesus sopped the bread. He just dipped it in the food right there, the gravy or whatever he did. And that is not baptizo. Baptizo, however, we should think about baptism like baptizo. When you are baptized in here, you stay in here. Now, you physically come out, but your spiritual man, that dead man, he stays right in there until God is ready to take him out, to take him up. That is the context of baptizo. And we've taken baptism to mean it's just this temporary thing. No, it's a permanent change. When you come out of this thing, you come out of it completely changed. You come out of it with a complete change in your life. Get this, that is important. Not a temporary dip into water. It's baptizo. A permanent change that happens. My Aunt Zelda, a missionary to Japan for many years, told me this recent story. A young, eligible single man was desirable for marriage. A mother who was Buddhist was inquiring about the young man for her daughter. She was told, "I don't think this marriage will work out. Doesn't the young man follows Christ. He doesn't follow Buddha. This isn't going to work out. But the mother said, you know what? That doesn't matter because we can talk him out of that. We can talk him into serving Buddha. It's going to be okay. But they came back at her. No, you don't understand. He goes to church every Sunday. The Buddhist mother says, that's no big deal. But he works with the youth group. Oh, it's still negotiable, the Buddhist mother says. She was not taking no for an answer. This goes on back and forth, this argument, until finally she asks, oh yeah, well, has he been baptized? And they answered, yes, of course. Every good Christian is baptized. And then the Buddhist mother immediately stopped and said, oh, I see. He is Christian. And stopped pursuing the man. See, the Buddhist mother had a revelation on baptism that we as Christians don't get. She understood that a permanent change happened in baptism. And once that guy's baptized, there's really no coming back from that. You are marked. You are permanently changed. You baptizo just occurred. How come a Buddhist mother can get that, but we as Christians don't? You see, a burial took place, and you don't just dig up dead bodies. There's no undoing something like that. They're buried with Christ. Only Christ can take them out of that burial. I want to tell you that this Buddhist mother did not think baptism was symbolic only. Real quickly, I want to tell you about how baptism isn't symbolic only. Jesus, ever heard of him? Jesus is baptized in Matthew 3. He travels approximately 70 miles. That's a big deal in the ancient world, right? A 70-mile trip is a big deal still in your car, right? He traveled, that's several days worth. He traveled 70 miles, get it? From Galilee to the River Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist. But guess what? He gets there and John the Baptist refuses to baptize him. What a mess that is, right? But he says to Jesus, no, I shouldn't baptize you. You should baptize me. But Jesus says this, Matthew 3:15. Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. So Jesus here walks how far? It's like 70 miles. And he declares baptism must happen to fulfill all righteousness. Nowhere in here did he say, you know, I really just want this symbol on my life. He doesn't say that. He said it must happen. Do it now. Are you with me? Yeah. Jesus gives us the Great Commission. Ever heard of that? Yeah. And all believers are supposed to fulfill this command of the Great Commission. All believers. Not just pastors. Not just worship leaders. Every believer, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Great Commission is for you to fulfill. Yeah. Baptism is a part of the Great Commission. Obedience isn't symbolic only. Baptism is necessary in being obedient to Christ and fulfilling the Great Commission. Anyone asks, is baptism necessary? The answer is yes. It's necessary to fulfill the Great Commission. And that's our mission. That's what we're about today. We aren't here today to have a nice, pretty church service. We are here to fulfill the Great Commission. That's what we're here for. Lord, help us do it. And moving on, in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches Jesus to a crowd of people. They were convicted in their heart, and they asked, what can we do? What shall we do? What are we going to do about this message about Jesus we just heard? What did Peter say? Let's look at it. Who knows the verse I'm going to say? Acts 2:38. Somebody's been to Connect Group lately. We talked all about this. Yeah. Acts 2:38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized. What did they ask? What can we do? What should we do? What can we do about this message of Jesus? Peter says, here's what you do. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you. No, just the men? Just the women? Just those who want to be working with the youth? No, every one of you in the name of who? the name of Jesus Christ for what? The forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Who believes that, sir? Who believes that scripture right there? Who believes it? I believe it. That scripture right there is the fulfillment of the Great Commission. It's the first time the Great Commission is fulfilled right there. That's what it looks like in Acts 2:38. Baptism right here, it tells us, is for the remission of sins. The remission of sins. Do you know what it means to remit? It means to take it away. It means to erase it. It means to remove it. The remission, the erasing, the removal of our sins. Does that sound symbolic to you?
No.
It sounds like a benefit of baptism. It sounds like a real supernatural thing that only God can do. Would you agree?
Yes.
Moving on, check out what Peter says in 1 Peter 3 about baptism. I was reading this today, actually yesterday, and this I saw this in a whole new way. I'll try to bring that up. 1 Peter 3:20. Who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. Time out. So he's talking about there's a time in the Old Testament where Noah built the ark and the rest of the world was wiped clean with water. Everyone get that? 1 Peter 3:21. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, this is really interesting. This is what hit me so hard this week. It uses the word symbolizes, but it uses it in reverse. See, before yesterday, I always thought baptism symbolizes the ark. Baptism symbolizes what happened at the ark. How the whole world was washed clean. Baptism symbolizes that. But if you will read this one more time, it doesn't say baptism symbolizes the water of Noah's flood. It does the reverse. It says Noah's flood was trying to tell us about baptism. Noah's flood was symbolizing the waters of baptism. We've gotten it reversed. It's not a symbol. This direction, it's a symbol. This direction, from the Old Testament to the New. Peter says the water of the flood that saved us in the Old Testament. You know, this water saved the entire world. It saved all of Israel. It saved that family. We wouldn't be here today without that flood. It saves everybody, this flood. Just like it saved them, it's symbolically showing us, painting us a picture of a very literal thing also, where baptism saves us by water. Peter's words. Peter says the water of the flood that saved us symbolizes, points us to, underlines the utter importance of baptism that also now saves us. How does it save us? Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:21. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body. Not just this outward symbolic physical cleaning thing. But the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. The works of a clear conscience towards God isn't symbolic only. When God took away all your shame, that wasn't symbolic. That changed you forever.
Yeah, all right.
When you had all that guilt that was on you, go away. That's what Peter's talking about. That's not symbolic only. And it saves us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That sure is not symbolic only. Baptism is not symbolic only. It's not simply an outward sign of an inward work. Baptism does an inward work also. Baptism fulfills the Great Commission. It buries us with Christ. It gives us a clear conscience towards God. It is for the remission of sins, and it is obedience to God's word. You should try baptism. You'll like it. But baptism is bizarre. Baptism is just straight up bewilderment. I'm trying to work on alliteration. I should have stopped while I was ahead. Baptism is bizarre, you might say. Now, I can understand how someone could think this. But think about it. Someone comes and gets in a tank filled with water, and a crowd gathers around them and looks on, and a minister comes up and he says some words, and sometimes you can't even hear those words, and oh, it's mysterious stuff. What is he talking about? And then the person is plunged into the water, and they come up soaking wet. That could be kind of embarrassing. Who wants that? And then the crowd goes from this quiet to clapping their hands to celebrating. Depending on how excited they are, they might rejoice and shout a little bit. Let's sing some songs. Let's rejoice and be happy. That's a little bizarre. In fact, I challenge you to find something like that anywhere else in life. Where does something like that take place anywhere else in life? So we can understand why it might seem strange, but we think if you'll try it, you'll like it. Remember, you can't say you don't like baptism until you've tried it. And you can't say you do like baptism until you tried it. You see, the things of God, you really have to get in the middle to understand that you like them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You have to try God before you realize he's good. The Bible says that something supernatural happens in baptism. We've covered that. That sins are washed away and you receive a clear conscience toward God. Who wouldn't like that? Don't sit in this place and say, I would not like that. You would love that. You need to try it. You can't have that until you try it. You need to try baptism. Now, maybe you've never been baptized. Little young Robert Cortez, can you come up here? We've got little Rob Cortez. He's going to help us. Young Rob Cortez is going to get baptized soon. How about that? Yeah. I'm excited about that. You can come stand right up here. How old are you, little Rob? 12 years old. Let's give this dude a hand. Yeah. Love this dude. Now, maybe you've never been baptized, and you're wondering what the baptism experience is like. Sometimes we assume everyone understands what baptism's like and what it's about. So let's not assume that. We would like to demonstrate how we baptize. So before we ever get to the day where we baptize you, little Rob, we're going to sit down with you and we're going to just go over some scriptures, some of the scriptures we went over today, but a whole lot more. The Bible has a lot more to say about baptism. And we're going to talk to you about it because we want you to understand why you're being baptized. No one's guilting you into being baptized. It's your decision to take this next step towards God. If you believe in God and you've repented, you should be baptized. And just that simple. So let's demonstrate. Will you demonstrate with us a little bit? So we've had our Bible study, and now here we are. We're at church, and you're just going to, of course, you'd probably take off your shoes, but we won't have to do that. We don't have any water in here, by the way. This is just perfectly for demonstration, all right? You're just going to sit right there. This is how it's going to happen in a few weeks. Are you excited?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Hey. I hope we have more.
We will have more.
I want you to take your hand like this, put it over your nose right here, and then just, we do this so we talk funny. No? We do this so that when you go down, yeah, you don't get water up your nose. The Bible never tells us to do that, but I hate getting water up my nose, so I suggest you do it. Is that fair? All right, that's good. So then what we would do is everyone would stand. Why wouldn't we all stand for this?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you all stand? In fact, I could see Mr. and Mrs. Cortez right over here and close family around and people that really love him, maybe his youth pastor around. We're all gathered around. We're rooting him on, and we'd be praying for him. And then we would come to the moment where we baptize you. And this is what we would say. We'd say, Robert, because you believe in Jesus and because you are obedient to the word of God, we do now baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. and he's coming down, and he's totally covered in water, and we bring him all the way up. And then here's what you do. Hands straight up in the air, stand up and start praising God. Here's what you do. Hands up in the air, clapping your hands, making a joyful noise because somebody just took a step in their faith. Somebody just had a baptizo moment. All right? Now stick with me right here. We're just going to turn around and look at these people. You just stay in there for a second. We have to learn how to rejoice when someone comes into the kingdom of God. The angels in heaven rejoice every time. But I've seen in Christianity where it just becomes this ho-hum thing. Oh, another person's baptized. Oh, another person has said the sinner's prayer. Oh, another person has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No, sir. It's exciting every time it happens. Get pumped about it. Get excited about it. Rejoice over it. You can jump over it. You can clap your hands about it. Woo! Yeah! I tell you what. When you get baptized, I am going to jump way harder than I have ever jumped for the Dallas Cowboys. I am going to sing and I'm going to shout harder than I ever had for the Dallas Mavericks or for any of my favorite sports teams. I am going to rejoice because this thing is eternally significant. Guess what? The Cowboys are going to stink next year. And probably 10 more years. But this guy... is his name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever. Yeah. Rejoice over that. And so then after you rejoice, man, you're just coming after God. You realize when you came out of this thing, there's a brand new Robert Cortez. This is a brand new little Rob Cortez. A baptizo thing happened there. A permanent change happened there. An overwhelming burial with Jesus Christ happened there. And so that new guy, I want his first words to say, I love you, Jesus. I want his first words out of that thing is to thank Jesus with all your heart. Are you going to do that in a few weeks when you do that? Boom, let's give him one more hand. You can be seated. Woo! You can be seated all over this house. Thank you. We love to baptize people. I want you to get that. We love to baptize people. It's what we're called to do. Have you been baptized? We want to baptize you. Please text us so that we can talk to you about baptism. We have a baptism Sunday coming up on July 20th. If you've not been baptized, if you feel like you want to be baptized, that's your day. You can sign up by texting BAPTIZE to this number, 254-717-6844. You will put a big smile on our face if you will text that number. We'll be so happy to talk to you about it. When is it? July 20th. The number is 254-717-6844. If you're watching us online and you're like far from us, text us anyway. We'll hook you up. We'll find somebody to baptize you and we'll rejoice all the way from Plano, Texas. Do it. Do it. You need to try baptism. You need to take the next step in faith. Now, you may have sat through this entire sermon saying, but I've been baptized. Why do I need to hear this? Well, I've got two really quick points on it. Hopefully they're really quick. Let me speak to that. Number one, baptizing people fulfills the Great Commission. I said that. And I alluded to this, but let me come out and underline it. You are called to fulfill the Great Commission. You are called to baptize people. That might be shocking to some of y'all. That's pastor's job. That's somebody with some kind of like certificate they got, you know, from somewhere. You can get those things online. You know, it's weird stuff. Like the Church of Elvis. There's all weird stuff out there. It's crazy. Nothing but a hound dog. All right. You're called to fulfill the Great Commission. That means you could baptize someone. That means one day maybe you share your faith with someone. Maybe they come to Redemption Church. Maybe they don't. But they look to you and they ask, what do I need to do? Just like those people did in Acts 2. And you lead them through repentance. And then they say, what else do I need to do? And you say, you need to be baptized. And they say, how do we do that? And then you might say, well, come to my church. They do that. And they say, I don't know. I don't dig church. Let me tell you, it's up to you. You baptize those people. You baptize them. Just like this, if you want to use this place, go ahead. If you want to go to a swimming pool, and do swimming pools work? Yeah, they do. They do. Bathtubs work. You can baptize people. I want you to get this in your head. You are called to baptize people. Is baptism important? You better believe it. You are supposed to be doing it. And so many times we get this picture that, oh, that's for pastor to do. It's not that way at all. As cool as it is for the pastor of Redemption Church to baptize, and I get pumped every time I do it, how awesome would it be for the members of this church to bring their friends and impact their lives for Jesus, and then they ask you to baptize them? How awesome would that be? Oh man, I would love that. That would pump up your pastoral staff like times a million. But here is one more reason you need to why you need to listen up about baptism, even if you've been baptized. And here it is, rebaptism. What? Rebaptized? I want to tell you that some people are rebaptized. Maybe you've been baptized in this place. You should listen up because it's biblical to be rebaptized. Raise your hand if you don't know that. All of us else? There's some people, maybe they don't know that. It's okay. I'm glad you're here. I felt like I should preach this. Maybe it's for you. In fact, people in Scripture were rebaptized. Let's look at it in Acts 19, verse 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples. Verse 2, he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Verse 3, interesting stuff so far, right? So Paul asks, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Verse 4, Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him. That is on Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. They went from not even knowing about the Holy Spirit to being baptized in Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
These men had been baptized, yet not had received the Holy Spirit. I want you to get that. That's an important question. Have you believed? Well, yeah, we're believers, but have you received the Holy Spirit? That's a legitimate question. Have you believed the Holy? Have you believed and received the Holy Spirit? Do you know in this place if you have received the Holy Spirit? That's a legitimate question Paul would ask you. Have you received since you believed? And that is something we're going to be talking about, guess what? Next week, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. But these people hadn't even heard about the Holy Spirit, much less received it. So Paul asked them about baptism. Paul must have thought baptism held an importance. He must have felt that it was much more than a symbolic outward sign. Would you agree? Yeah. They had been baptized unto John's message of repentance, but not baptized unto Jesus Christ as Messiah. Paul tells them to be rebaptized, and then that is when they are filled with the Holy Spirit. It is biblical to be rebaptized. It may be something you should consider, and we'll talk to you about that. There's a lot of context in that scripture we just don't have time to talk over. But if you've been baptized, maybe you need to be rebaptized. We have someone in our midst that all of you know that's been rebaptized, our care pastor, Marshall Blessing. I want him to come and talk to you about his rebaptism experience. Come talk to us, Marshall.
Thank you very much, Pastor Chris. I'll just take a second. I started coming to Redemption Church in 2007. But I grew up in the Christian church. My earliest memory going back as a real little kid, I remember my parents taking me to church every Sunday. And I know that they had me baptized as an infant. I know that. I don't remember it, but you could ask them and they'd tell you. I knew the pastor who did it. I was baptized. And I, growing up in the Christian faith, I never once worried about it or doubted it or thought, well, maybe it didn't take, or, you know, maybe something went wrong, or they didn't do it the right way, they didn't say the right words. No, I never had those thoughts. In fact, growing up, at times there were times where I had doubts or I had questions about my faith. I worried about things. But I remember thinking, even in my youth, going back and thinking, but I've been baptized. I know God loves me. I've been marked. I've been sealed. I've been baptized. I held on to that. That was important to me. So in 2007, I started coming to Redemption Church and getting to know people and getting involved in church. And the first time this subject came up, that you could be rebaptized, I was kind of resistant to it at first. That's a nice way to say it. What? You're telling me I need to be rebaptized? You think your baptism's better than the one I got back in Pensacola, Florida? No. That's not it at all. I thought about it. It got me thinking when it was mentioned. And I looked in the Bible. And, oh man, there's some people getting rebaptized there. It's not that there was anything wrong with the first baptism. I really appreciate my parents' faith on my behalf, that they had me baptized. That's an important thing to me. It was an important part of my life. It still is. But I didn't have a memory of it. Looking in the Bible, baptism is a sign of our faith. It's a step that we take. It's our choice to say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. I want to be buried with him because he is my Lord and my Savior. I was baptized as an infant, and I grew up in the Christian church as a Christian. But as my faith grew, church became more of a thing that I did once a week or occasionally. It went from being just a part of my life to being my whole life. And as I started to consider this issue of rebaptism, I started to think, yeah, I want that. I won't go so far as to say I was like the Ethiopian. Is there any reason I can't be rebaptized? I was still kind of like, well, I think I need that. I think I'd like that. I want to do that because I want it to be a sign of me as an adult, as my choice to be buried with Christ, to receive that, to be immersed and come out a new person. Because I could see how my life had changed, even growing up and to where I was at that point. I could see that I was becoming a new man in Christ. And I wanted that. So I decided to get rebaptized. I got rebaptized in this baptismal at Redemption Church. I'll admit to you, I don't remember every single sermon that I've heard preached at Redemption Church. I don't even remember particular details of every single Sunday that I've been here at Redemption Church. I love being here. I love this church, but I couldn't recount to you everything that's happened in here since I've been coming. But I remember that Sunday in October 2009 when I got in this water and came up a new man. And I hold on to that. That's a part of who I am in Christ, and I'm really glad I did it. And I thank you for letting me share that with you.
Thank you, Marshall. Thank you. Oh, man, we have a personal Savior, right?
Yes.
He's personal. It only makes sense that your repentance to him should be personal. You should remember that moment where you did that. You should remember that moment where you're baptized. That's a personal decision. That moment where he fills you with your presence. You talk about a personal experience. If while we were talking about baptism today, you felt God dealing with you, you felt something, you maybe had some questions, you're like, oh man, I'm going to tell you, you need to do something about it. Katie, come on. You need to take the next step. If while we were talking about baptism, you thought, you know, I didn't know this about baptism. Or maybe I didn't feel this close, personal, life-changing encounter with Christ that Marshall just shared. Yes. Maybe if that's you, I want to tell you, you ought to try it. Try it. You'll like it.
Yeah.
And maybe you even need to be rebaptized in the name of Jesus just like they were in Acts chapter 19. That is your decision. Nobody's going to guilt you into that. All I can tell you is if you do decide to do that, we are going to rejoice like crazy.
Yeah.
We're going to rejoice like crazy when you come up out of that water. We're going to believe that God's doing something great in you. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. Number one, we've already done. We've all worshiped God together. Number two, we just did. We received the word of God together. Thank you for listening to this sermon. And then number three, we talk to God. We want everybody to talk to God. We don't want you to let this moment pass you by. God is in this place. He wants to do something in your life. Maybe he's dealing with you on baptism. Why don't you come and pray about it? If you come in the first 2 feet, that lets us know you want us to pray with you. And we'll pray with you. We'll talk to you and we'll pray with you and believe God's going to do something great for you. If you don't want us to mess with you, you just stay out of the first 2 feet. No one is going to even talk to you or lay a hand on you, okay? All right? Why don't you come to this place? Why don't you start talking to God in this house? Katie's going to sing. Why don't you start bringing yourself, bringing your heart to
Thank
Lord
you for joining
house.
Us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.